Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Aaron Murray. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Drew Butler. Aaron is at Aaron Murray 11. Head on over to puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. It's got our YouTube page up there, which just continues to crush it. So head on over there, rate, review, and of course, subscribe to our YouTube page. It's got our picks. Aaron Murray on a little heater. He has taken the lead in punt, pass, and pick. Our blog, our merch. And yes, people keep messaging me. Is the merch getting re-upped? Yeah, the supply chain. What am I going to do about it, guys? I'm trying to get the merch in. It's coming. So continue to check puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. We love it when you guys get over to our website and get active. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented by our awesome friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is absolutely crushing it right now. It is like sports nirvana. Every single major league is playing. College football is playing. The PGA Tour is playing. You can do cross sport entries. You can win 10x your money on Prize Picks. All you have to do is use the promo code PUNT, P-U-N-T, PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Download the app today. Go to prizepicks.com. Shout out to the Atlanta Braves, a partner of Prize Picks. The 2021 World Series champions could have gotten down on some World Series action on Prize Picks. I did. I'm sure a lot of other people did. You got Georgia, number one team in the nation. You can get down on Prize Picks this weekend with college football, NFL seasons in full swing, hockey, basketball, PGA Tour, esports. Prize Picks is the best. We absolutely love Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com, download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. And Aaron, speaking of the Braves, hold on a second, dude. Hold on. Let me get... let me get proper with my gear right here. Head on over to YouTube. Just threw on the old Bravos hat. Shout out to the Braves. I mean, how awesome for those guys. That was so fun watching them really overcome every single obstacle to be World Series champs. And Jorge Soler hit that ball so damn far. It was awesome. It's still going.
I think it landed somewhere in Atlanta about 3 a.m. this morning. Someone found it. What an absolute bomb. Congratulations to the Braves.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the start of the season. You lose your best player, and the season is like, oh, my God, it's going to crap.
Arguably your best pitcher.
Yeah, and they just turned it around, got some great guys in the middle of the season, and what an incredible run they had through the playoffs, and then obviously the World Series just absolutely dominated. Wish it could have been done in Atlanta, especially after that grand slam in game five, but whatever. I'll take a win. And we've had some buddies that were obviously in Houston, and they said it was such a fun, incredible experience. But, man, Atlanta, Georgia, state's booming.
Dude, World Series is over? Check. Is the curse over?
Georgia number one
Come on.
In the country, check. The pressure's off now.
It is. It's a great time to be in Atlanta. And yeah, you said it. A couple of our friends were in Houston at the game yesterday. You know, they said they drove by NRG Stadium, the scene of the crime where the Falcons blew the 28-3 lead. You're kind of getting weird feelings in your stomach. And the Braves said not this year. So shout out to the Atlanta Braves. Shout out to a lot of our friends over at 680 The Fan, the flagship station of the Atlanta Braves. My man Jonathan Chadwick executive producer of the Atlanta Braves radio network. I was messaging with him. He was on the team plane coming back. And I was like, how was that flight home? He was like, just polished off second bottle of Silver Oak. We just landed. I was like, buddy, that is living right there.
When's the parade?
They announced the route. Is it tomorrow or is it Friday? You should look. We're filming this, so we're taping this on a Wednesday night, but they announced the parade route.
I might have to take little man to that, because that to me is a good old time, especially in this weather. It's going to feel great.
Yeah, dude. So they're starting it downtown on Peachtree Street, and then they're jumping on 75 and taking the buses up to Cobb County. They're going to finish it at Truist Park, which will be awesome. So they're going to touch everywhere and covered up. It's on Friday, November 5th. So it could be a great opportunity to head out there and check out the Bravos Championship Parade. First time in a long time for the city of Atlanta. And our friend Jaron Solomon over at Solomon Brothers, he went out to the game. He said it was awesome. He said it was so much fun. We were with him today. He said he was hurting a little bit. But that's the sacrifice you make for being a Braves fan, and it all feels better when everybody is going to be putting a ring on their finger here pretty soon. So congratulations to the 2021 World Series champion, Atlanta Braves. Let's dip into some news and notes in the college football world. The first rendition of the college football playoff rankings came out this past Tuesday, and Aaron, they were a doozy. A doozy puts it mildly. Number one, to no surprise, are the Georgia Bulldogs. They're 8-0. Most certainly the best team in college football through 9 weeks. Alabama checks in at 2 despite having a loss on the road while being a 19-point favorite. Michigan State, very surprisingly, at 3. Oregon at 4. Ohio State right behind Oregon, obviously, because they lost to Oregon head-to-head in Columbus. And then number 6 is Cincinnati. Number 8 is also a surprise. Oklahoma undefeated, 9-0, despite having some close calls. Michigan wedged in there at 7. They just lost to Michigan State, who's number 3. I don't even know where to start, Aaron. But simply put, it seems like these college football playoff rankings, especially the first few releases, are all set up to allow the CFP committee to do their thing later on in the year.
Well, for, you know, I don't mind Alabama being at 2. I actually thought Michigan State would be at 2.
Really?
Based on the win they had versus Michigan, I thought Michigan State would be the number 2 team. I mean, that's a huge win. It's a good football team, undefeated. I thought that could have been flipped. I had Georgia 1, Michigan State 2, Alabama 3, and I honestly love Oregon at 4. You know, we forgot to mention them the other day on our show.
But yeah, we did. You know, I got a couple tweets about that.
You got to take into account the head-to-head, because why the hell are you going to play the games if you don't take account the fact that Oregon went on the road.
On the road.
Without their best defensive player.
Correct.
And won the game versus Ohio State. So that, to me, that's a somewhat play-in game into the playoffs. They won it. Same record.
Yep.
They get the nod. The big question mark to me is Oklahoma. Oklahoma, I can understand why they're not in the top 4.
But number 8. Michigan.
They should be ahead of Michigan. I mean, Michigan this year, what have they done? You know, you look at Michigan's schedule, it's not like they're beating a bunch of great teams. Western Michigan, Washington, Northern Illinois, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Northwestern. I mean, what team on there is a quality win in your mind?
None. I mean, Wisconsin's number 21. They have 3 losses. Do you think Michigan – I totally hear what you're saying. Do you think Michigan is kicking themselves now because they were up 16 points against Michigan State? Michigan State now ranked number 3. If Michigan would have won and beat Michigan State, do you think they'd be number 2 ahead of Alabama or no?
I do. I think the brand Michigan, would have been enough to get them over, especially if they would have been able to finish the game off and win by double digits. I mean, they dominated the first half. They would have won, you know, 10-plus points against Michigan State on the road. There, I would say Michigan most likely would have been 2 heading into this, Alabama 3. I just think the committee looks at Alabama and then the Michigan State brand, and they're like, we don't know if we trust Michigan State just yet. We'll put them at 3. And then for Cincinnati, you know, honestly, this – it sucks.
Come on, don't
upset.
Do this. Don't do this to our boys in Cincy. Come on, man. Come on. They deserve to be in the top 4.
I'm trying to spin it to be positive here.
Okay.
At the end of the day, Michigan and Ohio State are going to have to play each other. So someone's going to knock each other out.
Correct.
Michigan State, excuse me. So one of those teams jumps out. They jump to number 5. Georgia versus Alabama. Really good chance.
Yeah.
I would say 60-40 right now. Okay. Georgia wins the football game. Boom. Alabama's out. So then Cincinnati then jumps into the top 4, unless unless Oklahoma goes undefeated, then they'll get jumped by Oklahoma. I don't think, based on this initial rankings, that an undefeated Wake Forest, however, would jump Cincinnati. So right now, I think Cincinnati's in a good spot. I think two of the teams in front of them are going to lose. Obviously, it has to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to drop out. Cincinnati moves up. It's just a matter of, can Oklahoma, who has a bitch of a schedule to finish the season off, can finish it off undefeated or not?
Yeah.
Is the big question for Cincinnati.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. I thought Cincinnati would be in the top four in the first rendition simply because they played the meat of their schedule early. They went on the road. They beat Notre Dame, who's now ranked number 10. They went on the road. They beat Indiana, a Big Ten team. Granted, they're not having the best year. They're 0-5 in the conference. But they took care of business by arguably playing their worst game. I mean, Cincinnati was horrible in that game. That was like my lock of the century. It's the one of two locks that I've won all season long on our punt, pass, and pick. But I would have thought that the committee would give them a little respect, one, for what they've done through eight games, and two, for how they performed a year ago. Now, I know we're not supposed to do that, but it's like you have to take into account Cincinnati is doing everything possible that they can to control what they can control and get some respect from the committee, and they're simply not getting the respect. I absolutely love what head coach Luke Fickell said about Gary Barta, the college football playoff chairman. Luke Fickell was asked on his radio show, what do you think about your ranking? And what do you think about selection committee chairman Gary Barta calling Notre Dame the only significant win on Cincinnati's schedule? Fickell said, who's the chairman? Did he play football? That's what he said. He goes, you know, who is this guy? Why does he have the ability to question what Cincinnati has done? Why does he have the ability to say, well, Notre Dame's the only good win, so that's all we're going to say? I will say this, all right, and I tweeted it out, and we talk about it every year, Aaron. It is time to televise the damn committee ranking meetings. Put it on C-SPAN. Put it on ESPN News. Let it run for 8 to 12 hours. Who cares? They do not have the nuclear codes. They are not discussing life and death situations for everyday Americans. They're not putting our security at risk. Let us know what they're talking about. I would absolutely love to know how some of the discussions are. Blur out their faces, adjust their voices, protect their identities. Who cares? I want to know what's being said. I tweeted it out. I got some love. I got some hate, as you would expect on social media. One guy said it's the most entitled thing he's ever heard in 30 years. I go, you know what, man, you're right. Who cares? Let's be honest, dude. We should know what they're saying. It would be great television. People would certainly watch it.
Oh, 100% they would. I would watch it. I mean, there's just so many questions. You know, I think that the two things at least that we can tell from this committee, which I'm not mad about, is one, they, like I said earlier with Oregon, they do appreciate the fact that they won head-to-head.
Yeah.
So that's a positive in my book. At least they made that decision right. And they are taking into account strength of schedule.
Yeah, and they are. Okay.
I'm not mad about that. I'm really not. I mean, it's Cincinnati, yes. You know, the good thing for Cincinnati, you know, one, like I said, there's going to be teams in front of them that are going to lose based on their schedules. They're going to be playing each other. So that's an opportunity to move up. And also, they get to play SMU on the 20th of this month.
Which lost a little bit of steam after SMU lost to Houston last week. But yes,
I think that's
yes.
good, though. Okay. I honestly think it's good because then if you beat SMU – then you can say, okay, we just beat a one-loss team. And then if you play Houston in the American Conference Championship, you have an opportunity to then beat another one-loss football team. So yeah. I think that's then saying, hey, we beat two teams that have one losses at the time, good quality teams. Houston could be ranked in the top 25 by the end of the season. They're right now 5-0 in the conference, 7-1 overall. SMU's 3-1 in the conference, 7-1 overall. So I think it was good for Houston to win to get another solid victory to finish the season off for Cincinnati if they're able to run the table to finish the year off. So I think, like I said, yeah, it sucks. You want to be in the top four. I'm with you. I thought they would have been in there or had a chance to be in there. I would have put them above Oregon and Ohio State at 4, then Oregon 5, Ohio State 6.
Yeah.
But I think right now Cincinnati needs two things to happen. One, they need Georgia to win.
Yeah.
Because we all know if Alabama wins, it means there's two SEC teams in there.
They definitely are saying go Dawgs.
And they need Oklahoma to drop one game
for sure. And you know, Oklahoma's ranked number 8 right now, so they got a big climb. Wake Forest, I'll continue to say,
but have you seen biggest schedule though?
Yeah,
it's a bear to finish the
I know
year off.
They got a,
they got what do they got? They got Baylor this weekend.
So
they Bears.
Not
next weekend, they got Baylor, number 12 team, Iowa State, good football team, and then Oklahoma State. Yep. And then from there, you got to play in the Big 12 championship game.
Yep.
So they have three ranked opponents left on their schedule. That's going to boost them up by the end of the year if they go 4-0 there.
Yeah. Wake Forest is fake. Fake. I'm just saying that right now. Fake. They might lose North Carolina this weekend. I'm looking ahead to punt, pass, and pick. My lock of the century might be Cincinnati again, giving up 22.5 points against Tulsa. Just the disrespect factor. But I'll say one thing about Gary Barta and the committee, the esteemed committee who get to decide who go to the college football playoff. Undoubtedly, take away the pay, because I'm sure he's being, you know, compensated handsomely. Being the selection committee chairman has to be one of the worst jobs imaginable. I would liken it to being an HOA president. I would liken it to being the chairman of the board at your local country club. All you're doing is hearing people bitch and complain. There is no win in that situation whatsoever. I mean, Gary Barta is the athletic director at Iowa. He's got to go on ESPN every Tuesday night and then kind of regurgitate what he sort of remembers from a boring-ass 12-hour meeting where all these talking heads are discussing who should be the top 25 teams in America and where they should be ranked. And then he has to just take daggers from ESPN guys, from social media people. I mean, it's kind of laughable. But you know what? I'm sure he looks at his bank account and he's like, I can handle this. It all makes sense. I do like Luke Fickell going straight at him, though. Hey, who is this guy? Did he play football? And then Luke Fickell said, look, it's not that disappointing. It's not that exciting. There's a lot of football left. I don't really have that much of a reaction right now. They're taking it week by week. I'm interested to see how Cincinnati does to finish up the season. They face four unranked programs, Tulsa, South Florida, SMU, and East Carolina. You say SMU could be a really good win for them. And then the AAC championship game.
Yeah, I do think SMU would be a good win for them, especially if SMU has one loss to a one-loss Houston football team. I think that's a quality win, both those wins, if they're able to get it. My question to you is the fact they put Alabama, a one-loss Alabama, at two, do you think they're setting it up that even if Alabama-Georgia plays a close game in the SEC championship game, say it's 30-27,
that
Alabama stays in it?
Here's what I would expect the committee to do. Being a sabotaged Georgia fan, Georgia will play Alabama in the SEC championship game, and then for some odd reason, Georgia will have to play Alabama in the semifinal, and then there'll be some sort of disqualification after Georgia beats Alabama twice in a row that Alabama will be given a nod to play in the national championship against Georgia and probably beat them, you know, third time's a charm. That's what I would think. I mean, I have no idea.
I don't know. I just have.
I have no idea.
Now I know no two lost teams ever made it.
But if any,
but
it
I think
would
that
be
they
Alabama.
Are setting it up right now that they're stating that Alabama is the second best team in the country. Which I mean, if you want to put all these teams on the field right now, I honestly believe on a neutral site, I would take Alabama over Michigan State, over Oregon, over Ohio State, over Michigan, over Oklahoma and Oklahoma Cincinnati. But you still have to earn it.
Yes.
You got to earn it. You got to go win the football games to get in. I mean, the game's not played as a combine. It doesn't matter how good your players are. If they don't win the football games, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm just worried that they're setting it up now that regardless of what happens in the SEC.
Of course they are.
If it's unless Georgia blows them out, that if it's close, Alabama could be the number four seed, then Georgia have to play them in the first round.
Please do not forget, and I'm going to throw it way back, and I'll bring it back to a personal experience. The year was 2007. I was a redshirt freshman on the Georgia football team. Georgia did not play in the SEC championship game that year. In the last week of the season, Georgia was ranked number four. Teams ranked two and three both lost. Everybody on that football team thought, because of how the old BCS rankings used to happen, Georgia would jump up to number two. Georgia would be in a great position to play in the national championship game. Kirk Herbstreit went on TV and said, how in the world could that ever happen? Georgia didn't even win their division. They didn't even, can't even play for their conference championship. No chance Georgia should be allowed to be in the national championship game. The only team that could ever, and I think Ohio State did it once too, so I'll give them a little credit, but Alabama. Rules do not apply to Alabama. They don't have to play for their division. They don't have to play for their conference. They will get every benefit of the doubt from the committee to make it to the playoff, regardless of how many losses, their record, what happens from a division winning standpoint, a conference championship standpoint. That's exactly what's going to happen, Aaron. So I totally agree with you. All right. Story of the week outside of the ranking. the pole assassin. This is just one of the most unbelievable stories.
Are you talking about Monkeygate right now?
Monkeygate. Yeah. Monkeygate. So Jeff Banks, a special teams coordinator for the University of Texas Longhorns football team, who was at Alabama when I think he teamed up with the pole assassin, had a little shindig at his house for Halloween. Now, for a little background, Jeff Banks' girlfriend and or partner and or wife, I don't know if this has been confirmed yet, is a very well-known adult entertainer who is self-dubbed the pole assassin.
Is she still an adult entertainer even though she's with him now?
I do believe so, and I do believe so, and I think it is pretty well known and well documented. Now, part of her act is having a monkey up on stage with her. Seriously, look it up, people. It's absolutely amazing. Do a little research. I did. It's funny.
Make sure your wife's not in the room when you look it up.
So they have a Halloween party, and the pole assassin, I'm forgetting her name, if you want to go ahead and Google that for me right now, Aaron, so I don't keep calling her the assassin. She Instagrams or Facebooks or tweets out, hey, we've set up a haunted house slash maze for kids at our house from 6 to 8 p.m. And from 9 to 11 p.m., adults are welcome. Swing by. Wink, wink. Swing by. Take that for what you will. But some child who was at the party, who was walking through the maze and doing the haunted house, went behind a couple of do not enter signs, stuck his or her hand inside said monkey cage, and got it bit bad. So it went kind of viral. I don't know if the police were called, but the monkey bit a child at Jeff Banks and the pole assassin's Halloween party. And Monkeygate is now the talk of the college football world. How embarrassing for Coach Banks. You know, the pole assassin, it seems like she's kind of dealt with this kind of media coverage before. But what do you think the players think? That would be my biggest question.
I would say they're probably impressed and proud of their coach. He's the highest paid special teams coach in America.
Yeah, he is.
He's getting $1 million a year. And so her name is Danny Banks.
Danny Banks. Okay, so Banks, that would tell you that they are, in fact, married, right? Danny Banks, Jeff Banks.
Yeah, the article I'm reading said it's unclear if whether she's a wife or a girlfriend.
She's got like 65,000 followers.
I mean, it would make sense, last name's Banks, that she is the wife. So, but
I would just have to know, walking into the team meeting the next day, clearly every single player on that football team knows, sees, understands.
She was on Jerry Springer. I'm watching a clip of her on Jerry Springer right now.
It really is amazing.
I'm waiting for the monkey to make its appearance on Jerry Springer.
Those guys in the locker room have to be like, dude, what is going on? Coach Banks, who's making $1 million plus a year, who's our special teams coach, barking orders at us on and off the field, is going home to the pole assassin with a monkey outside. I mean, that is so funny to me. I don't know. It's just it's a great story. If anybody has thoughts, questions, concerns about Monkeygate, I mean, please let us know what's going on. Social media, at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at Aaron Murray 11. It's a great story to read because you're just reading it and you're laughing. You're like, wow, this is pretty unbelievable. Shout out Halloween night, man. Crazy things happen on Halloween. There's no doubt about that. The pole assassin, Danny Banks. Coach Jeff Banks. Swing on by. That is too
funny. What about his kids? Goodness. He has three kids from his previous marriage. I wonder what they're thinking about this whole thing.
I wonder if they like the monkey. I wonder if they have fun with the monkey. I don't know. That's crazy. It's just, woo. Interesting. Interesting. All right.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Well, let's get on to some more important things. And that, of course, is this weekend's Slate on Prize Picks. I absolutely love Prize Picks. NFL first half is my jam on Prize Picks. I'm getting on a little bit of a heater. I love it. But this weekend, we have some awesome action on the college slate as well. So we will tell you what we're thinking. Head on over to prizepicks.com, download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100, and you can do cross-sport entries. You can pick NBA players, NFL players, college football players, and golfers. Put them all together on the same entry and win 10x your money. I mean, it is the best daily fantasy app out there. It's Daily Fantasy Simplified. We love Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUMP. We've had a ton of signups also. We really appreciate your support, and we know Prize Picks does as well. All right, let's look at the board. And I'm telling you right now, Rowdy, the lines maker at Prize Picks, is literally updating the board as I'm clicking refresh. That's how good these guys are. Awesome game this weekend in the SEC West. Number 13, Auburn heading to number 14, Texas A&M. It's your 330 SEC on CBS game. Bo Nix, Aaron, 219.5 passing yards. On the flip side, Zach Calzada, 184.5 passing yards.
I'm going to go under Calzada.
Under 184?
I don't believe in the kid. I really don't. Wow. I just don't think he's that good. I'm sorry. I mean, he's had one good game versus Alabama. Good for him. I think that was just a lucky night where all of his stars aligned just perfectly for him to be able to
and keep in mind with that game. Also, going back to our CFP rankings talk, Alabama played terrible. It was like the worst Alabama game in the past 3 years. Yeah.
I'll take over Bo Nix. I mean, I think Bo Nix, you're talking about being on the heater right now. Bo Nix is feeling it. And I know Tank played well last week, and I anticipate Tank to continue to progress. But I think the goal for every team facing them is Bo legit. Stop the run, stop Tank, and force Bo to win the football game. I think Bo can do it. So I'll go over Bo, but under Zach Calzada. Kid ain't it.
Yeah.
Just ain't it. No. I'm sorry.
What about Zach Calzada? Over under 4.5 rushing yards. 4.5 rushing yards. Can he get outside the pocket one time, move the chains?
Yeah, but you have to understand, though, that sacks count against rushing yards for quarterbacks.
Do sacks count against rushing yards for quarterbacks?
So in the NFL.
In the NFL, they don't, but in college football.
In NFL, it counts against passing yards. In college, it counts against your rushing yards.
Gotcha.
Very weird, but yes.
So Zach Calzada, over under 4.5 rushing yards. What do you think?
I will go over that.
Okay. I'm over Zach Calzada, 184.5. I'm also over Bo Nix, 219.5. And we'll each go over 4.5 rushing yards. You would think maybe late in the game he'll be able to scramble a little bit if they're down. We'll talk about that pick here in a little bit. But there's two really good running backs in this game as well, Aaron. You mentioned Tank Bigsby. 83.5 rushing yards for Tank Bigsby. 84.5 rushing yards for Isaiah Spiller.
I'll go over Isaiah and I'll go under Tank.
So under 83.5 for Tank.
Yep.
And you were
listen, he's had one game where he's gone over 100 yards in the past like 5 weeks. Other than that, he's been like in the 40s, he's been in the 50s, just hasn't been getting it done. And I do think he's, hopefully turned the corner. But like I said, I think A&M with that front, their front four defensively, I think they're going to say, listen, we're here to stop the run and we're here to make Bo beat us with his legs and arms. So I anticipate it being a big Bo night, less of a Tank night, running the football at least. And plus they got a two-headed monster there at Auburn.
Yeah.
Their backup running back, is an absolute beast, the freshman there, so they like to split those reps up.
All right, so you are saying under Tank Bigsby, 83.5 rushing yards, and over Isaiah Spiller, 84.5 rushing yards. What did you think of Auburn's orange face masks last weekend and the night game?
I thought they looked sweet.
Yeah, kind of like the metallic
orange. I kind of like them, yep.
All right, one more player. Zamir White, 99.5 rushing yards. Georgia's a 38.5-point favorite against Mizzou. 38.
Put this on for us to pick.
Well, I did because I'm going to talk about CMR. So take it back. Take it back.
We'll take it back. Okay. But golly, that's so many points to pick against.
99.5.
Has he eclipsed 100 yards yet this season?
Yeah, I think he did last weekend, right?
Did
I'm
he?
Almost certain he did last weekend, or if it was the week, or it was Kentucky game.
I'm going to go under. Missouri sucks, and their defense is one of the worst defenses in the country.
Yeah, they're in a bad spot.
I think Georgia is going to run right through them, but I just think it's going to be a running back by committee, and I don't see him playing much in the second half.
Yeah, Zamir went for 105 against Florida.
Yeah. I just don't see – I think they
just get him
are
in
dominating so bad that he's not playing the second half much.
Okay. So you're going to I'll go under Zamir 99.5 as well, just simply because it could be like a Vanderbilt-type game where it's like 28-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Missouri Basilak quarterback is questionable to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Whew. Their defense is bad. I mean, they could get you said it bad. I mean, this could be Vandy real quick.
Well, you know what? If you want to make sure that you're interested late in the game when Georgia's blowing out a football team, get active on Prize Picks. Here is our rundown of this weekend. Week 10 of the college football season. That just hurts me to say. Slow down time. Here it is, our Week 10 slate for Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com, download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. Bo Nix, 219.5 passing yards. Aaron and I both say over. Zach Calzada, 184.5 passing yards. Aaron says under. I say over. Zach Calzada, 4.5 rushing yards. Aaron and I both say over. Tank Bigsby, 83.5 rushing yards, Aaron says under. Isaiah Spiller, 84.5 rushing yards, Aaron says over. And Zamir White, 99.5 rushing yards, Aaron and I both say under. We love Prize Picks, no matter what the slate looks like. Pretty good one this weekend. We're about to get into Pump, Pass, and Pick. Prize Picks always makes it more interesting. Win 10x your money. Daily Fantasy Simplified, the best daily fantasy app. Download it, Prize Picks. Use the promo code PUNT. 100% deposit match up to your first $100. All right, let's get into these game picks, brother. Punt, pass, and pick. You have a one-game lead on me. I am 25-20 against the spread this season. You are 26-19. You've had two really good weeks back-to-back. Our locks, I mean, I'm so bad. 2-7. I'm going to throw up a Hail Mary this weekend. And if it doesn't hit, we might have to just rethink everything. You are 3-6. You had a win with your lock last week. I got a lot of tweets about it, too, because you picked Georgia minus 14 against Florida. People were saying there were rumblings. How could Aaron jinx the dogs with how bad you've been on your lock of the week? But you know what? You've overcome that, much like the Atlanta Braves. The curse is over. Let's start in the Big Ten. Number 5, Ohio State, heading to Lincoln, Nebraska. This game is at noon on Fox. Ohio State is a 15-point favorite. The total is 64.5. Let me just say one thing right now. Nebraska, not a very good football team. Lost to Purdue a week ago. Have lost three straight games. Lost to Illinois in week one. Scott Frost on the hot seat. What is happening with one of the endemic brands in all of college football? Who knows? But what they did against Oklahoma in Norman.
Oklahoma was crap, though.
They are.
They were crap at that point in the season.
What they did against crap Oklahoma in Norman, keeping that game close, because Nebraska's pretty crap as well. On the crap scale, Nebraska certainly has more crap than Oklahoma. I just think for some weird reason, getting more than two touchdowns in this spot makes me want to take Nebraska at home. I don't know if these guys are going to play for Coach Scott Frost. I don't know if Coach Scott Frost has something up his sleeve. I do know that Ohio State is one of the hottest teams in college football right now. I do know that they were slowed a little bit against Penn State a week ago. Give me the 15 points. I'll take Nebraska. I'll kind of close one eye. It's a really ugly bet, but something's telling me take the home dog more than two touchdowns.
Listen, Humpty Dumpty is broken, and he ain't being put back together. Nebraska is a bad football team. You can say all you want about playing for your coach. If they love their coach and want to play for him, they would have been doing it the entire season, and it just ain't working. So I guess they don't love Scott Frost that much, or they're just not that good. And I'm going to say that they're just not that good. So I'm taking Ohio State, especially – after they're number 5 right now in the CFP.
Yeah.
I think to me that adds a little bit more juice and focus to them saying, listen, boys, we're on the outside looking in right now.
Yep.
We are on the outside looking
in. Got to make it happen.
I think for them, that is all the fire they needed heading into this game to go out there and absolutely whoop their ass. So absolutely. I'm taking Ohio State in this game. I think they just absolutely dominate. Nebraska's not a good football team, and you said it, man. Ohio State right now is playing the best football of the season. Penn State's not a bad team. They won that football game by 9. They can beat Penn State by 9. I think they can beat Nebraska by 15.
All right, we're on opposite sides. Aaron, laying 15 with Ohio State. I'm taking it with the Huskers. Great game here. I'm really looking forward to locking in on this game. Best game of the weekend, says Aaron Murray. SEC on CBS, 3:30 p.m. Number 13, Auburn. Red hot Auburn. Heading to College Station to take on number 14, Texas A&M. A&M, a 4.5-point home favorite, A&M. Off the bye week, Aaron, I'm a little worried that their momentum is slowed, especially with Auburn kind of steamrolling into College Station, a lot to play for. Look, the writing is on the wall with them. Take care of business these next couple of weeks. The Iron Bowl is for the SEC West.
I'm with Auburn. I'm sticking with Auburn. A lot to do with what I talked about when it came to prize picks and just not my belief in Calzada. I think Auburn's playing great on both sides of the football. Defense has been tremendous all year. They got Papo back at linebacker. His first game back last week, got some of the rust knocked off. He'll be ready to go. The offense is humming. Receivers are playing better. Tank Bigsby did his thing. Bo Nix is playing the best football of his life. They are playing with confidence. They're not coming off a bye week. They got the momentum going. And I just don't think A&M can score a bunch of points. I don't. I just don't trust that offense. Maybe they win the game. Maybe they don't. I think Auburn wins it. But I do believe, regardless, Auburn will keep this within a field goal. I will take the Tigers in this matchup.
Yeah, you know what? I'm on the same side here. I want the points with Auburn. I mentioned it leading into you. Just given your prediction, I think the bye week hurts A&M here. I really do. Look, you can say what you want about Zach Calzada, but Bo Nix playing at a very high level right now. Certainly still questions about his performances on the road. I think he's kind of nipped that in the butt. This season, he had a really good game up in Penn State. Auburn almost won that. You know, his heroics against LSU, granted those were all broken down plays. Can Texas A&M limit his ability to make those plays outside the pocket? I'm not quite sure, but I think him, Coach Bobo, Coach Harsin, have some sort of synergy going right now. If Tank Bigsby and that running game really take the pressure off Bo Nix, this will be a close game. This will be a close game. I think division rivalry, playing for a lot, give me the points. It's going to be a close game. Could be a field goal. You just mentioned it. Texas A&M surely could win. I don't think Texas A&M is going to put up a lot of points on the board. The total here is 49. So with a lower-ish total, I'll take the points. Auburn plus 4.5. Hoping Bo Nix becomes and still stays Bo Nix out in College Station. That will be an awesome game with Nessler and Danielson on the call. LSU head to number 2, Alabama. 7 p.m. ESPN. Alabama. A 28.5-point favorite. LSU is a total mess, Aaron. Alabama understands exactly what they have in front of them. I know I'm keeping saying that now that the college football playoff rankings are out. But LSU's a mess. Alabama is a much better team than them. Take Alabama first half. Lay the 28.5 points. Ed O focused on just about everything else other than football right now, by all indications. I can't buy LSU in this spot. I can't buy LSU in this spot. First half, game, Alabama. Lay the points.
I'm going LSU in this one. I just think, to me, we saw what LSU did in a rivalry game a couple weeks ago versus Florida. I know Florida is nowhere near Alabama, but also Florida almost beat Alabama, for goodness sakes. So rivalry game, bye week, they got a lot of pride. You know how much I love Max Johnson. Alabama's secondary is questionable. We've seen this entire season. 28.5 points is a lot of freaking points and one of the best rivalries in college football. LSU, I know that it's been an awful season. I know you're losing your coach, but you got to remember these guys are a bunch of 4 and 5 stars that have a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to just roll over for Alabama just because they're not going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to come to play and it's going to be competitive. Alabama wins the football game, not by 28.5. I could see them winning by somewhere like 20-21. 3 touchdowns, but yep. LSU will make it competitive early on.
All right, Aaron wants the
28. I mean, Alabama versus Tennessee was close in the first half. Alabama versus Florida wasn't a good game.
LSU's broken. I'll lay the 28.5.
No, they got too much pride. They ain't going to roll over.
Another good matchup in the SEC. Tennessee heading up to Lexington to take on number 18 Kentucky, a night game on ESPN2. It's at 7 p.m. It's a pick 'em. This is an even line right now. Books are saying these two teams are dead even. I like Tennessee here. Tennessee coming off a bye week. Valiant effort in the first half against Alabama. I think Josh Heupel has this offense believing. I think the defense has certainly made strides throughout the season. This is a really good rivalry. If you're a Tennessee or a Kentucky fan, doesn't get too much hype on the national scale or really throughout the entire conference, but I think this will be a good game to flip back and forth between while you're watching that LSU and Alabama game and whatever else you are interested in on Saturday night. I'll take Tennessee here. I think Tennessee wins this game in Lexington.
I'm with you. I think Tennessee does too. I think Tennessee right now offensively, they're believing. They have been believing all year in what Heupel's been preaching. Offensively, they're doing their thing. Defensively, I think they come out, they fight hard. I think Tennessee wins this football game. I'm with you. Take Tennessee here.
All right. I like that. I like that. That'll be a good game. I think that, you know, Ted Lasso believe type situation going on in Knoxville right now. Like, let's do this. We're so close. Let's get a good win against a top 25 team. Those things matter. When you have a first-year head coach, you've been playing good, you're pretty close, you want to prove it to your fans, you want to prove it to your coaching staff. Most importantly, they want to prove it to themselves in that locker room. I'll take Tennessee. Last game we're going to pick on Pump, Pass, and Pick, Missouri at number one, Georgia. It's at noon on ESPN. This one's going to be a sleeper. Dogs are a 38-point favorite. My goodness. I mean, the spreads that Georgia has had against their own division rivals.
How do you put 38 points?
Well, you know, because it's on the board. It's on the board. You got to pick it, right? And the reason I put this on here is I just wanted to fill everybody in. This Saturday in Athens, during halftime, the University of Georgia will be honoring Coach Mark Richt. It's going to be an awesome time. Obviously, everybody knows the news about Coach Richt being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He lives back in Athens now. You see him on the ACC network. He is a man of integrity, somebody who all of his former players, all of former colleagues, all of the fans, everybody in Bulldog Nation loves and still cares deeply about. It will be awesome to see him being honored. I don't know whose decision it was, but major hat tip to Athletic Director Josh Brooks, major hat tip to UGA President Jerry Moorhead. This is the right thing to do, and I'm excited to be up there. Aaron, we will miss you. Georgia has invited all of Coach Richt's former team captains to come stand by his side during halftime. I believe at last check, 46 team captains will be there. That just goes to show right there what Coach Richt meant to so many people, what he still means to so many people. From 2001 all the way to 2014, Coach Richt made a big difference for a lot of people, especially within those locker rooms. So I am honored to be up there, stand by his side, see a lot of my former teammates and great dogs. I mean, just the special atmosphere, Aaron. I don't think David Green will be up there. I don't know if Musa Smith will be up there. But man, growing up in Georgia, I was such a big Dogs fan. To be able to be in the same realm as some of the guys that I looked up to growing up, it's going to be really special. And we'll miss you, Murray. I know you got work. You're on CBS. You're big time. But I know you'll send Coach Richt your best. I'll tell him you said so as well. Georgia, 38 points. You just said it, man. Like, if Bazelak doesn't play, lay the 38. How are they going to score without Connor Bazelak? I don't really know. So I probably won't be there at the end of the game.
Listen, Tyler Beatty's been Mr. Do-It-All, but he's their only player, and I guarantee you, Georgia, if they've just stopped one guy, they're going to make that happen.
Yeah.
I'll take the 38. I just think Georgia is going to run right through them. Missouri's defense.
So you lay in the 38?
I'll lay the 38. Okay. Missouri's defense is probably the worst defense in the SEC. Yeah, at home.
Tell me this. Like, this is a serious question.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about the point spread here. If Missouri played UAB, what would happen? Stetson, you know, 5 for 5, 5 touchdowns. Like, they just blew right through him. You just said Missouri's got a really bad
defense. I think UAB would keep it competitive.
You do think so? I mean, hell, Vanderbilt just did.
I know.
I'm laying the 38, too. I think you got to lay the 38 points here.
Missouri's so bad.
They're bad.
It's really sad, honestly, but they're just a bad football team. They're giving up 36 points a game. They're only scoring 34 points a game.
Yeah, it's not a good recipe for success.
Not a good recipe for success.
Tell me your favorite.
They beat Vanderbilt, but they gave up a bunch of points. Yeah, I think Georgia rolls in this one.
I
don't think Missouri's going to score.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm
worried
about.
I think Georgia wins it. I think it's like 45-0.
45-3.
No, they don't get any points.
Wow.
They cross the 50 like once.
Aaron and I are both on Georgia minus 38. It'll be a special day up there. Tell me your favorite CMR story off the top. I did not prep you for this. Anything special?
My favorite story is just our Thanksgiving tradition in the quarterback room. Every Thanksgiving, we had practiced that morning. And before we started the meeting, Coach Richt would roll up into the quarterback room, sit back in the chair, pop his feet up on the table, and tell us what he's thankful for. And then he would go into absolute incredible detail of what was going to be on his plate, where it would be on his plate.
Yeah.
And just break it down to where we were absolutely starving after his little 10-minute rant. Just was always really fun and entertaining. And obviously Thanksgiving is such a special day, and he's such a family man that it was always really a good time to, you know, just sit back, talk about food, hang out. And it was always like something we look forward to every Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Coach Rick's the best. I'll tell you my favorite Coach Rick stories. Matt Drills one year. I think it was when I was going into my senior year. You know, you get up at 4:30, like you brush your teeth real quick. Obviously, you don't eat anything. You have to jog over to Ramsey from ECV, or we were living off campus at the time. So I'd pop a piece of gum in my mouth. I'm a big time gum guy. Like when I would play football games, I'd always have gum in my mouth. Like always, college, high school, pro, whatever, gum always. Workouts, I'd have gum in until you really start getting after it. So I had gum in my mouth, and we're doing the push-ups, and we're stretching. God, I do not miss those days. And Coach Rick walked up to me, and he goes, "Butler, spit your gum out." I said, "Okay." So I walk over to the trash can, literally spit my gum out. We go through, and like he pauses Matt Drills halfway through, and he's like, "I just found a piece of gum on the ground. Butler, you have morning runs for the entire week." I'm looking around. I go, "Hold on a second. I literally just spit my gum out in the trash can. Literally." He probably watched me spit my gum out in the trash can. He stops Matt Drills and he goes, "Butler didn't listen to me. He wants to be a team leader. He's not listening to me. You have morning runs for the week. Morning runs with Matt Drills." I mean, that's a death sentence. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why are you picking on me like that? First morning run I had, Joe T's out there. We're at Specktown's tracks. It's like 40 degrees and raining, okay? I'm running, Aaron. I slip, and I absolutely slice my shin open on those gravel kind of concrete stairs. Yep. Had to go into Ron Corson. Had to get freaking stitches in my shin. Do mat drills with the it was – shout out Coach Rick. I spit
ultimate,
my gum
ultimate
out.
Ultimate specialist. Ultimate specialist story right there.
Oh,
prima donna. Spitting gum out and then can't even do stairs without slicing your leg open.
That is true. All right. Shout out Coach Rick. It'll be really fun to honor him this weekend. Flip the field special. I'm doing something special this week to get back on track, because if I don't win this week, I'm going to have to do something different. I mean, 2-8 is completely unacceptable. I'm 2-7 right now. So what am I doing, Aaron? I'm giving you two picks. First pick, Cincinnati -22.5 against Tulsa. They will stomp Tulsa after the major disrespect of being ranked number 6 in the college football playoff rankings. Cincinnati -22.5. Lock it up. First flip the field free pick. Second flip the field free pick. Cannot believe this line. Ole Miss -10 against Liberty. Ole Miss at home against Liberty. The return of Hugh Freeze to Oxford. Lane Kiffin, that offense. Matt Corral. Ole Miss -10 at home against Liberty. Two flip the field specials this week. We're making it happen. They're both going to win. Cincinnati -22.5. Ole Miss -10.
All right, so I'm going to take two then, too, because there's some juicy picks this week that I was really feeling very confident about. First one of my week is going to be – I just lost it, but now it's back. I'm going to take Mississippi State on the road against Arkansas, 5-point dogs.
Mississippi State getting 5.
Mississippi State's getting 5.
Awesome.
You want to talk about a hot football team right now. Will Rogers absolutely beasting it at the moment. They got the run game. I mean, they ran the ball 35, 36 times last week. When's the last time they did that? They're starting to be a little bit more balanced on offense, especially in the red zone. I love their defense. Arkansas coming off the bye week, going to take a little bit to get going. I think Mississippi State has a chance to win this football game. I'm going to take Mississippi State with the 5 points. That is numero uno for your boy.
Yes. Give me one more, please. Give the people what they want.
I'm actually going to – I really want to go against Cincinnati, honestly. Well,
do it then. I dare you. I'll do it.
I'm going to go with Tulsa. I love Tulsa's defense.
You clown.
Is actually pretty darn good. They're fun to watch. They do that 3-3-5. It's a bitch. And I'm going to go the opposite. I think Cincinnati, in my mind, is going to try to do too much to kind of say F you to the people in charge, the big man.
Yeah.
I think they're going to hurt themselves, honestly. I
can't believe you'd do that.
I think they're going to win the football game, but I think they're going to have some silly mistakes trying to prove a point that I think Tulsa and that defense can take advantage of. So I'll take Tulsa, the 22.5.
Can't believe you do that to me. Looking right into my eyes and just stabbing me in the chest. I'm broken. I'm beaten down. I'm on fire. I'm on fire, and you just pissed on me. That hurts. Yep.
There you go.
That hurts. All right.
Your fault for choosing two. I was all comfy with one, but you want to go with two.
I love it. I love it. That's Punt and Pass. That's week 10. Go to prizepicks.com. We love our friends are over at PrizePicks. Download the PrizePicks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. So much action this week. And it is such a good time to be a sports fan. You can win 10x your money. It is Daily Fantasy Simplified. It is the best daily fantasy app out there. PrizePicks. Use the promo code PUNT. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at Aaron Murray 11. Head on over to puntandpass.com. For Aaron Murray, I am Drew Butler. We love you all, and we will talk to you on Monday. See you.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.